Welcome back, everybody. Today we're going deep on biblical
Well,
prophets.
this is a good one.
Yeah, right. So I've got these lecture notes here from this Foundations of Biblical Prophecy course.
Cool.
Yeah, it's really interesting stuff. But we're not just talking about predictions of the future and, fire and brimstone stuff.
Right.
We're looking at how these prophets fit into the political scene back then in ancient Israel, and also how folks figured out who was a real prophet and who, well, maybe wasn't.
Yeah, that's a big one. It's so interesting to see how intertwined prophets and politics were back then.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Because it was a theocracy, right? God was seen as the ultimate ruler.
Okay.
So the kings were accountable to him, like through this covenant. The
Gotcha.
prophets were like these guardians of the covenant, making sure the kings stayed in line, so to speak.
So, like divinely appointed watchdogs keeping an eye on the kings.
Exactly.
That's a far cry from the whole separation of church and state thing we've got going on today.
Yeah, for sure.
It makes you wonder how all that played out back then.
Well, take the prophet Samuel, for instance.
Okay.
He wasn't just, giving spiritual advice or whatever.
Right.
He had the power to actually anoint the kings, giving them that divine right to rule.
So he was the one who, made them legit in God's eyes.
Yeah, pretty much. And that also meant he could, in theory, remove a king if they, went totally off the rails and broke the covenant.
Wow, that's some serious authority. I bet that "Thus saith the Lord" line carried a lot of weight. I mean, did all the kings appreciate having this prophetic oversight? I can't imagine they were all thrilled about it.
Let's just say it wasn't always smooth sailing. Some kings weren't too happy about being called out. Like, take Elijah and King Ahab, for example.
What happened there?
Well, Elijah basically declared a drought as, God's judgment on Ahab's wicked ways. It wasn't just a disagreement. It was this huge challenge to Ahab's authority.
So it's in the Bible.
Oh, yeah. It's a pretty dramatic story. You can find it in 1 Kings 17.1.
Okay, I'll have to check that out. So were there other prophets who pushed back against the kings like that?
Oh, yeah, tons of them. Isaiah, for example, totally called out King Ahaz for making an alliance with Assyria.
What was wrong with that?
Well, Isaiah was basically saying, don't put your trust in these foreign powers. Put your trust in God.
Oh, so it was about staying true to the whole theocracy thing.
Exactly. It gets to the core of what it means to live under God's rule. Your ultimate allegiance is to Him, not to some political strategy.
I see. It makes you wonder how the Israelites back then figured out which prophets were legit. If everyone's running around saying, "Thus saith the Lord," how do you know who's really got that divine hotline?
That's the million-dollar question, right? And it's not just an ancient problem either. Think about all the information overload we deal with today. So many voices claiming to have the truth.
Yeah, true.
So the Israelites had these criteria they used to kind of sort through all the prophetic claims.
Like a way to filter out the noise.
Yeah, kind of. But the thing is, none of these criteria were foolproof on their own.
So they had to be pretty discerning. What was the first thing they looked at?
Well, moral character was a big one. The idea was that if you're claiming to speak for God, your life should reflect that,
Yeah.
right? But then you have a story like Balaam.
Who's that?
He was a true prophet, but not exactly a saint. So it shows it's not always cut and dry.
It's like today, right? We might get caught up in a leader's charisma or something, forgetting that a charming personality doesn't equal truth.
Exactly. So yeah, moral character alone wasn't a guarantee.
So what else did they look for?
Well, miracles were considered a pretty good sign of divine backing. Like Moses parting the Red Sea, or the plagues he brought down on Pharaoh.
Those are hard to argue with, but I have a feeling there's a but coming.
Of course there is. Turns out even miracles weren't a slam dunk.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, those Egyptian magicians managed to copy some of those plagues, at least for a little bit. And even Jesus warned about false prophets doing, really impressive signs in the end times.
Wow, so even back then, they had to be careful about being tricked by spectacle.
Exactly. The point is, don't just be wowed by the fireworks. Always check out the message behind the miracle, Because if it's promoting something bad, like idolatry, then it's definitely not from God.
That's a great point. It's like you have to look at the whole package, not just the shiny wrapping paper.
Right. The message, the motivations, it all matters. So it makes you wonder, how did this idea of enlightenment by God's Spirit fit into all this,
Yeah, that's a great question. It sounds like that's a pretty key concept when it comes to understanding true prophecy.
Absolutely. And it's something that resonates even today.
Okay, so we've talked about miracles and morality and how those aren't foolproof tests for a true prophet. What about their track record? If a prophet's predictions come true, wouldn't that be a pretty solid sign they're hearing from the right source?
Yeah, fulfilled prophecy was definitely seen as a strong indicator, and you see that throughout the Bible. But even then, it's not always so straightforward.
How so?
Well, just because one prediction comes true doesn't necessarily mean everything that prophet says is from God.
Right, so you can't just cherry pick the one that would work out. And what about the predictions that don't come true? How did they deal with that?
It must have caused a lot of debate and head-scratching back then. It's not like they could just look it up online. So, you know, even with fulfilled prophecy, there were still some gray areas.
So what was the ultimate test? We talked about this enlightenment by God's Spirit idea before the break.
Right, and that's where we get to the heart of it. True prophets weren't just lucky guessers or clever politicians. They were receiving messages directly from God through His Spirit. That's what set them apart.
So it's like they had access to this, like, divine frequency that most people just weren't tuned into.
Yeah, it's a great way to put it, a direct connection between the divine and the human. But it wasn't just about receiving information. It was about being transformed by that encounter, you know? Their messages weren't just pronouncements. They were, like, infused with God's character and will.
It makes you wonder what that experience was like for them. Was it like a sudden epiphany or more of a gradual thing?
It probably varied. Some might have had these dramatic visions or encounters with angels. Others might have experienced it as this more subtle, ongoing guidance. And you're right, verifying something like that is a challenge. There's no scientific test for spiritual authenticity.
So how did the Israelites deal with that? It seems like a very subjective thing to try to judge.
It was, and that's why discernment was so important. They had to develop this sensitivity to the Spirit, like a spiritual intuition, that allowed them to recognize the fingerprints of God, so to speak, on the prophet's message and actions. And it wasn't just an individual thing, it was something they cultivated as a community.
So it was like a group effort, like a spiritual checks and balances system.
Exactly. They would consider the prophet's life, their teachings, the impact of their message on the people. Did it lead to greater righteousness? Did it draw people closer to God? Or did it cause division and strife? These were the questions they grappled with.
Man, they really took this seriously. Makes you wonder what they would make of our world today. I mean, we're just bombarded with information and opinions. It's crazy.
It is. It's like, now anyone can claim to be an expert, a prophet of sorts, broadcasting their message to the world. And it's both exciting and kind of overwhelming at the same time.
Totally. We've got information overload, fake news, social media influencers. Everyone's claiming to have the answer. So if we were to apply these ancient criteria to our world today, like, how would they translate?
Well, let's take moral character, for instance. It's still important, but we can't expect people to be perfect, right? It's more about looking for integrity, consistency, a commitment to their values.
So actions still speak louder than words, even in the digital age. What about miracles? I don't see too many people parting seas on Twitter.
Maybe not literally, but think about the miracles of technology and innovation we have now. Connecting instantly across continents, accessing all this information, pushing the boundaries of knowledge, that's pretty remarkable stuff.
Yeah, when you put it that way. But I guess the question is, are these advancements being used for good? Are they drawing us closer to, like, a sense of the divine or pushing us further away?
That's the key, isn't it? Just like the Israelites had to evaluate the miracles they saw, we have to ask ourselves, are these technological wonders serving a higher purpose? Are they making us better, or are they, you know, kind of dehumanizing us?
It's like we need a whole new set of criteria for discerning truth in the digital age. But speaking of criteria, what about fulfilled prophecy? How does that concept apply to our world?
Think of it like a track record. Does this person or source consistently speak truth even when it's uncomfortable? Do their claims hold up under scrutiny? Or are they all about hype and sensationalism?
So it's about looking beyond the headlines, doing your own research, really thinking about the long-term consequences of what's being said.
Exactly. And remember, discerning truth isn't just about fact-checking. It's about recognizing bias, you know, identifying hidden agendas, understanding the motivations behind the information we're consuming.
And that brings us back to that fifth criterion, enlightenment by God's Spirit. How do we apply that in today's world where spirituality can be so, like, individualistic and all over the place?
Yeah, that's where it becomes really personal. It's about developing your own inner compass, that sensitivity to what resonates as true and authentic for you. It's about being in community, finding wise counsel, testing what you hear against the wisdom of those who've come before you.
So we're all called to be like prophets in a way, discerning truth for themselves and helping others to do the same.
That's a beautiful way to put it. We might not be parting seas or having visions, but we can all strive to be beacons of truth and wisdom in a world that really needs it.
Well, we're back for the final part of our deep dive into the world of prophets. It's been a pretty wild ride, right? I mean, we've covered everything from ancient kings and these crazy miracles to how those ancient ways of figuring out the truth can actually help us in today's world.
It is kind of mind-blowing how these, like, super old principles are still so relevant.
Yeah, totally.
It shows you how powerful the search for truth is. Like, it doesn't matter what time period you're in.
Right. So as we wrap this up, what are some things you hope our listeners take away from all this?
I think the biggest thing is that figuring out the truth is something you got to work at. you know?
It's not just going to magically appear.
Yeah, it's not like you just sit back and absorb whatever you hear. You have to, like, really think critically, question things, and be open to different perspectives.
It's like you got to exercise those truth-finding muscles so you can fall for the easy answers or those stories that sound really good but maybe aren't true.
That's a great way to put it. We need to be careful about those who act like they know everything or present themselves as, like, these perfect authorities.
Like, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is.
Probably. Real wisdom often comes from accepting that things are complicated. You know, recognizing that there are different sides to every story and that, like, we're always learning.
Something that really stood out to me is how important community is when you're trying to figure out the truth. It's not a solo mission, right?
Definitely not. It's about talking to others, getting advice from people you trust, and testing your ideas against what other people has experienced.
It's like that saying, iron sharpens iron.
Yeah, exactly. We all need those people in our lives who can help us, you know, get better at spotting what's true and challenge us to really think deeply.
This whole conversation has really made me think about, like, where I get my information and how I decide what to believe. It's a constant problem, right?
Always. The world is constantly changing and there's always new information coming out, so we have to keep up. It's about staying curious, always wanting to learn, and being open to changing your mind when you need to.
So if we could sum up this entire deep dive into one call to action, what would it be?
Don't be afraid of the journey. Don't shy away from tough questions. And don't settle for easy answers. Build that inner compass. Find people you trust. And remember that truth is usually found somewhere in the middle, not at the extremes.
Wow, that's really well said. It's not about reaching some, like, final destination. It's about constantly searching, growing, and changing how we see the world.
Right. And as we do that, it's important to remember the power of community, talking to each other, and helping each other navigate this crazy world of information and everything else.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think that's a great place to wrap things up. To everyone listening, thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of biblical prophets.
It's been fun.
Yeah, really interesting stuff.
And remember, the journey doesn't stop here. Keep asking questions, keep searching, and share what you learn along the way.
Great advice. Until next time, keep on diving deep, everybody.